Greetings, everyone. Thank you all for... Greetings, everyone. Thank you all for joining us tonight. We're here on People Power Radio. I'm your host with the most, Michael Washington, Baba Wetapa, father of many nations. Tonight, before we get started, as y'all know, we like to kind of play a little bit of Whitney Houston to get us in that groove and move the motion to the oceans. For until that time come about, let's listen to Whitney for about a minute, and then I'll get back for other things. And y'all don't go away, all right? We'll be right back. Everybody, this is Baba Wetapa right here in Oklahoma City, your host with the most. I am Michael C. Washington. Again, they call me really the tree shaker because, hey, if I can't get my fruit just reaching out for it, I'm going to shake that tree till I get mine. Bottom line, don't care who like it, straight up. You ain't about who is, who ain't who I like it. It's all about freedom, justice, and equality. This is your radio station, People Power Radio, where your ideas, your thoughts, and mannerisms count. There are no right or wrongs. So no one ever thinks you can say a wrong word or two because everybody has their own opinions and their own way of how they see and do things. Tonight, everybody, thank y'all for joining us on People Power Radio. Tonight, we're going to have a very bright, brilliant, as well as influential broadcast tonight because we're going to be talking about letting our revolutionary political prisoners out of prison, bottom line. Now, a lot of us don't know as far as the incarceration of many of our brothers and sisters who were, again, just opposing, you know, we had opposing views to the United States government, who they in turn felt was inappropriately denying the African-American community of the mainstream of the great auspices and works and mannerisms and good causes and things that go along with being successful as Americans here in the United States. Well, I know I'm not an American. That's why they treat me the way they do. So I'm no longer needing a blanket pulled off my head because I know that we, as here in the Western Hemisphere, as blacks, we're here last on the totem pole. We're 13% of the world's population in the United States, but 40% of those incarcerated. So now that tells me that's not by accident. So that means that we're more than likely two times likely to be incarcerated than the the Caucasian race and all the races put together. Let me say a little bit about the United States government, who I like to refer to as the United Snakes of America, and then we'll let you, again, we'll open the floor here for conversations and topics of discussions as we roll along. Usually my co-host, Mayat Yuboa, will usually be here tonight. I guess she'll probably come in a little bit later. She's with the Fred Hampton Gun Club, and she's a very inspired and very inspirational young sister who's out, and, again, I've taken under my tutelage. And we are definitely doing great things here in Oklahoma City. Listen carefully, everybody. The repressive tactics employed by the federal government of the United States is used to push back political opposers, the real revolutionaries who hold an antagonistic view of the way and activities and political agenda of the United Snakes of America. The whole idea is to overturn this wicked government, not by forceful or illegal means, but by legally overthrowing the oppressive, manipulative practices of the United States of America, who, again, has no regard, no respect, no indulgence for African-American community, and we here in the Western Hemisphere are about to let people know that we will not tolerate any injustices being visited upon us here in the Western Hemisphere of the United Snakes of America. Let me say, for the most part, there are actively, right now, at least 19 black activists, black liberators, here as black liberated black men in the Oklahoma United States penal system throughout the United States. So what I'm saying is that there are political prisoners today, 19, who were actually arrested during the 1970s who are still incarcerated today. Now, think about that, y'all. They simply not having violated any laws, not having stole a cookie out of a cookie jar. No, it's just that their political views were somewhat different than the masters who themselves found it a problem to allow a black man to represent his independence, his strength, and intelligence, which they saw as a threat to their establishment. So we're not going to worry about what they think now. Let me say this here, and then we go open the floor. These beautiful, black, gifted young men at the time, and now older ones, are the same black warriors for many years who were subjected to, again, the FBI COINTELPRO counterintelligence program by J. Edgar Hoover, who used his COINTELPRO to target every black group, every black individual, every black organization, every black pastor who the federal government felt was a threat to the way the United States were running its institutions. That's right. They even killed one of my beautiful brothers, Fred Hampton, on the street. He didn't make it to prison. He was a very, very enlightened and very inspired brother. As a matter of fact, as I told y'all, Mayette Yubor, who's also one of the Fred Hampton Gun Club activists here in Oklahoma City, we'll be speaking to her momentarily. She just got on with us. Again, she's a host with the most as well. And we do our thing here at People Power Radio. We also think about Brother Mark Clark, who was also killed in that Fred Hampton shootout, as well as others who were targeted for assassination as well. Again, there are too many for me to name here, but I'm sure all of you get my point. The activities of our black activists sparked fear among the federal activities and the federal government of people who were in power and in authority. The tactics of the federal government was to suppress and or silence, including black leaders, by any means necessary. And as J. Edgar Hoover put it, the whole idea was to silence or prevent the likelihood that there would be a black messiah who rise from among the ranks of the black liberation movement. Again, he marginalized and actually prevented the black independence from being liberated and strong and fighting for a nation within a nation. I myself, being a political activist and pan-Africanist, confined to the rights and privileges and immunities of the African-American community, I fight today on every level to expose this corrupt, wicked judicial system here in the United States. Now that Sister Mayette have come on board, we want to speak to her right quick, and then I will get with our guests. Here we have several guests already on. But right now, Sister Mayette, let me talk to me. I see you came in a little late. Talk to me. What's on your mind? I'll let everybody know who you were before you got it, but you can also say a little word yourself if you want to. Go ahead on. Talk to me.
Hey, everything is going pretty good today. I went around and walked around the city and kind of seen, you know, a lot of people were getting out today. Of course, it's the weekend,
yeah,
and we finally got some good weather. So, but yeah, on our topic, you know, today, you know, I always tell people, you know, we have the so-called freedom of speech, the right to speak, you know, what we want to, but that doesn't apply to us. That does not apply to us African descendants, because as soon as we do that, we are automatically attacked, targeted, killed, you know, for having our own vote. And, you know, they shouldn't be in there just based off of what, you know, what they believe, what they truly, you know, feel their desires to be, you know, free. You know what I mean? The real vision, like I told y'all last time, the real vision of unity, the real vision of freedom was already given to our people way before we got here. And they did not want to go with the plan. They decided to take it and remix it and give us what we have now, which is us being oppressed, us being locked up for our view, us being shot and killed for our view, you know, in front of our family. You know, so it really bothers me sometimes, you know, to at first, I would say it bothered me really bad, you know, when I first became a revolutionary. I, you know, went through all the stories of our ancestors, our great revolutionaries that were slaughtered, you know, for their beliefs and standing on their ground. So it's just now I'm not too much bothered. I just know, you know what I mean? Once you declare freedom, you know, you're pretty much, you're going to have to defend yourself. You're going to have to protect yourself a lot more. You're out here speaking the truth, and they don't want the truth to be told because that'll switch their story up, and they have to come up with a lie on top of a lie. So, you know, that's my opinion about it.
All right. Okay, great. Let me tell you, sister, you're right on point. And, again, I've also told the brothers and sisters here what you were about and the things that you were actually doing here in Oklahoma, as well as you and I have partnered up pretty much. Right. And right now I also have a brother on the line with me who is a staunch revolutionary who's been in the movement now for more than 70 years that I personally know of. He's a great personal friend of mine from Tulsa, Oklahoma. His name is Brother Curtis Mullins, and he's been in the fight for releasing our political prisoners now for more than 40 years. Brother Curtis, talk to me now. Tell me what's on your mind, brother. It's good to have you on the show tonight as a guest. How you doing?
Oh, man. Thank you for having me on this program. People in Oklahoma don't invite me nowhere.
You know I was going to do it, though.
I'm not even invited to some of the church groups that I used to go around and talk to quite a while ago. But to get to a point, I'd like to explain something about me without being overbearing or maybe overemphasizing of how I became involved in this struggle. I was a businessman in Brooklyn, New York in the 1960s and 70s. And it was heroin and cocaine being distributed to children in our community, and they were being told that it was their mothers and fathers, some of them grandmothers and grandfathers, were being told that it was medicine and it was cured that some of their diseases.
Wow.
This is the late 60s. And 70s.
Man.
Now, I knew better, but I couldn't do nothing by myself. But these young men came into the community and introduced themselves to me. I don't know why.
You pay not, but brother. You pay not.
They wanted to ask me what did I think they should do about it. I said, get rid of it. So they started to getting rid of us. In Harlem, they had the dope dealers stripped buck naked, dumped they dope on them and whooped them up and down the street. In Brooklyn, mm-hmm. New York, they did the same thing in the Bed-Stuy community.
Wow.
And they found out who the people were that were supplying them with the dope. Because, you know, you get a coward and slap him upside his head, he'll tell you about his mother. So, started getting rid of the dope. And they found out who the people were that were responsible for supplying them with the dope. They were neo-colonialists, Jamaican, West Indians. And they were being supplied by a man, an Israeli Mossad agent named Max Cohen.
Okay, Max, I heard of it.
He just died years ago. This is the same man who was responsible for creating the war beginning against the Nigerians and the Biafrans. He was supplying them with it. He caused more death in the Black American community than the pandemic that you got going on now.
Yeah, some man is wicked.
The government came in to protect them. Now, I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people don't want to go into, but Shirley Chisholm was just as much a part of it as Franklin Thomas was, who eventually became the head of the Ford Foundation.
Okay.
Now, I'm not telling Youth in Action in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was given to Shirley Chisholm by Israeli Mossad agents. They control her. These same people.
I said she was actually an activist herself. I didn't know that they were controlling her, though. But go ahead on, brother. I just had to respond to that.
Yeah, they were controlling her. Jews controlled her. They paid her. The same people that created Kamala Harris and this girl is going on to the Supreme Court. They weren't selected by African-American people. They were selected by the Israeli Mossad government.
Okay.
That's how they got
all right.
To the positions that they're in, but getting back to the dope. The Black Panther Party stopped dope in Brooklyn, New York, and the community the police department at the 79th precinct protected them, you know. So when I came out and told them that I supported the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army, I was a businessman. I had dry cleaning stores. When I came out and told them that I supported them, I wanted the whole community to know. So I told them the same thing that I just told your audience. I told them who was supplying them with the dope. I was out of business, and I left.
Mm-hmm. You went against the establishment, so they had to silence you like I was talking about a while ago.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But not only that, they locked me up. I was in jail for a year.
Come on, Mr. Ex-Political Prison. That's what you're on tonight. That's what we want to get to. Talk to me about it. Why were you for you? Yeah, for you. What did they get you for?
I was in jail for a year on trumped up bank robbery charges and criminal facilitation. I was found not guilty of the bank robbery charges and also criminal facilitation. Criminal facilitation is, hey, you know some of them niggas that kill them cops. You tell us their name, and we'll let you go. I said, I don't know anybody cops, but whoever killed them, they should kill some more of them.
Yeah.
And they didn't like beat me up some more. But there wasn't nobody to come to my aid that I knew of except the Black Panther Party. And they sent me two lawyers to fight the bank robbery charges and the criminal facilitation. It wasn't making they had to drop the charges for the criminal facilitation. I went to court. I went to trial for the bank robbery charges, and I was found not guilty because I didn't know any of the people that they accused me of robbing banks with.
Wow. But see, you were making noise, Brother Curtis. Problem.
These are some of the things that happen.
That's what they do to political prisoners. When you make noise, they target you.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
So one of the things that stop people from coming forward and talking about what's going on, they're threatened with jail and beaten up by the police. There's the reason a lot of them don't even talk about it, which women have a great deal to do with holding them back. Don't you get involved with that. That ain't none of your business. You leave that alone. Jesus going to take care of you, you know?
Well, God has already shown us, man, we got to make our own. He said if we take one step, he take the next two. So meaning that he's not just going to take care of us, we don't take care of ourselves, man. We're going to have to do something of our own accord. You know, we were given a mind, a heart, ears, eyes, lungs, and reality and intelligence to do what we need to get done. So now you also a part of Brother Rochelle McGee's situation. Tell me a little bit about that, then I want to move on to another guest we got today. Talk to me about that, if you can, Brother Curtis.
I've been involved with Rochelle McGee for 35 years. I had met Rochelle McGee before I met you inside of the penitentiary.
Okay.
Yes. I've been fighting for him. So Rochelle McGee was in jail with some other brothers, and Jonathan Jackson. Jonathan Jackson.
Yeah, his brother, George. I got you.
George Jackson's brother Jonathan heard about what was going on, and he came into the courtroom with rifles and pistols and told them that that they were taking over. And they took them out to a van. They were on their way to a radio station to tell the world that they were being held in slavery. And Ronald Reagan was the governor of California, and he told the guards, don't let them leave the parking lot. And as soon as they started the car up, the guards started shooting and killed everybody in the van except Michelle McGee. The women were wounded, but none of them died. The judge's head was blown off because his brother had a shotgun wrapped around his neck.
And I remember that.
They accused Michelle McGee of killing Michelle McGee.
His
brother stayed in jail for 59 years, though, didn't he?
Yes, he's still in jail.
That's what I'm trying to slip in. Ain't that something? Now, that's the idea, classic idea of a political prisoner. But now hold that point right there for me, Brother Curtis, because we got a couple of political prisoners here, one in Lawton, Oklahoma, right here in Oklahoma, and we got one in Denver, Colorado, again, is my beautiful brother Omar Jen. He's always a guest on the show, especially when it comes to our political issues. And let me go first of all, Brother Brown down in Oklahoma, in Lawton, Oklahoma. Brother Brown, tell me what's going on, man.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about how long you been in since 2012, right?
Yes, sir. I've been over here at Lawton Correction for about 2012.
Okay. And right now we're trying to get you up out of there. So do you feel you're a political prisoner? If you do, why? I mean, why do you think that your charges were trumped up to give you something that you actually wasn't a part of? Talk to me about that. I mean, as a matter of fact, you told me something about you were a leader in the community, and you were able to put gang affiliations together and get people out of gangs and stuff, and they saw you as a troublemaker for doing that. Talk to me about that part, man.
Well, I mean, you know, I had a little bit of influence with my peers and people, you know, of my age and community, but I guess because of my influence and, you know, the way I lived and hung out with whoever, you know, they saw fit that whatever transpired in my life at that point, you know what I'm saying, caused them to or allowed them to charge me with the charge of a crime that I never even committed. So here I am sitting in prison on a life sentence for a crime that I never actually committed.
Wow. I guess so. Hmm.
Yes, sir. I never thought it would happen. I never believed that it could happen, but you know, I learned one thing, that in this thing that we call America, the justice system is not a justice system for us, you know, as minorities. It definitely does not serve as a justice system, because this is clearly an injustice to the justice system.
Come on,
man. I don't understand how I'm convicted of a murder charge when I've never committed the act of murder.
No, I believe you, brother. Well, hey, now I've read your case. You're not just saying something. I'm trying to tell you. That's why I had you on here tonight. I can verify and back it up because I've done my own research. You know me. I'm not going to lie for you or against you or lie on the radio for nobody. You know me by now. If I'd have felt you'd done that, I wouldn't be even talking about trying to help you out.
Correct. So that is true. You know, like I say, man, God sent you. You know, like the brother said earlier, Jesus take care of it all. Well, you know, faith without works is dead. A lot of people don't understand that. They think Jesus take care of it. Yeah, he will. But if you ain't got enough faith in God that you're going to put in your work to do what you got to do for yourself, it ain't going to just come to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
I haven't just laid down and just settled and taken this sentencing. You know, I've done what I can, but being a minority in this thing of America, you know, it's just not so simple for us to get the justice that we feel is right through the justice system.
Oh, man. You know what? Justice, like I was telling you the other day, Ashay, come on, may I tell? I know you got something you want to add to that. Come on with it.
Ashay, it's, you know, hearing, you know, the gentleman's stories, like, you know what I mean, and just to think that they are still yet in turn locking our men and our women up because they speak their truth, and they are going out here really helping, ripping up people. It's just kind of like, are you kidding me? Like, when do we tear this thing up, because it's pissing me off.
Right.
And I, you know, I don't
get
mad like that on the air, but these are our men, these are our women that push for us, you know, our Pan-African views or to liberate yes. our people, however you want to say it, you know what I mean? And we need that. You know, we need them back in society so that they can influence and guide this next generation because they are so lost. I care about everybody, all of our
yeah.
people. But this generation is being misled, and men like
mm-hmm.
the ones that are on the line, you know, they would be the ones out there, you know, liberating the minds of our youth. And they
yes,
know
ma'am.
That. That's why they put them in the position that they are in now, because they know they will shake the city wherever they are. You know what I mean? That's the main thing on top of my head. You know, me being a revolutionary, I have to always think about I could be in that same position too, because I'm not going to shut up. So...
You ain't got to. That's what I like about you. That's why, like I said, we partnering up down in Oklahoma City. You already know what's going on. You call me up. Ain't going to be no talking about it because I know it's going to be some action needed
right.
to be done if you call me. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
you got to know we mean business around these parts. You know what I mean? And y'all hold that thought right now.
I had to learn one thing, brother. I had to learn one thing, brother. You know, being in this system, you know, a lot of people look at racism as, you know, a black and white thing. But like I tell people, the young brothers in the system that I'm incarcerated with, the ideology of white supremacy is worse than the overt racism that you were seeing. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
The ideology of white supremacy runs deep. You know what I'm saying? That's why you look in these prison systems, you got 40% African-American locked up in this state. Because the ideology of white supremacy is deeper than what a lot of people think. You know, an ideology can go a lot further than an action. An action is the here and now. But the ideology carries on generations. You know what I mean?
That.
Because of this ideology, you have brothers who are, they're continuously being locked up. I mean, I don't know how many people I've run across in here who have been locked up for the same thing, felony murder. I don't understand what a rule of law is.
Let me say, I don't mean to cut you off, and then we're going to go to Brother Omar down in Denver. Let me tell y'all something. Brother, you were actually, that's what I told you I'm dealing with right here, Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse. That's one of our main topics here in dealing with the African-Americans here in the Western Hemisphere, because the felony murder law was designed to target the African-American community because most of them, a lot of them were in gangs or what have you, and rather than letting them go and actually for a charge that really didn't involve them, they're just, in other words, killing two birds with one stone.
Yes,
you know
sir.
What I'm saying?
Yes, sir, it
so
is.
That's why I said I'm
yes,
out.
Sir. If we can't get you for the crime,
we're
going to get you for a catch-22.
Right. You see?
I understand it, you know?
Yeah, right. Now, let me go to Brother in Denver right quick, Brother Omar, and then we're going to give you the show back. We're going to go to Brother Curtis and go back on the round table again. And you, brother, here already inspiring me. Then we got Brother Sister Joyce from Oklahoma City. We'll get with her shortly. Brother Jen, what's going on, man, down in Denver? I mean, somebody tell me that you up there locked down there on the charge that you didn't commit and didn't even get a grand jury or nothing. What's going on with that, man? What's happening there?
Man, first and foremost, thank you for everybody up for putting this program, this wonderful platform together. Thank you for having me on. It's all laid out on my website, freeourbrothers.com.
Uh-huh.
What they're doing in Colorado is basically going around the most basic due process according to their state constitution, which is the grand jury system. It's separate from the trial jury. Grand jury is supposed to screen the charges and make sure that basically it's enough common sense evidence to move forward on the bare minimum basis. They're going around it. I'm not saying the grand jury is the answer, because to me it's another form of the grand jury of the Ku Klux Klan. But my point is,
yeah.
you did not give me my due process, which you claim to uphold in your constitution and various documents that basically so-called established this nation. So that's basically what it is, my brother. They're railroading us out here, and it's really charging people with so-called crimes against the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very political issue, because they are aiming at black people first and foremost, and good people of color.
Absolutely. Absolutely, bro. You know what? Somebody was going to say something. Go ahead. Oh, I thought somebody was going to say something. Hey, let me say this here, y'all. Do y'all notice how right now, and then Sister Joyce, she'll say she'll be back in a minute. Don't y'all know right now, Brother Curtis, Curtis was a political prisoner and still is one. He was locked up in jail, just like you brothers are today. Don't you know justice in the United States is it eludes the African-American male and female. Now, prisoners, we are, as we realize, we are often subjected to torture, routine searches, unrecognized, harsh and inhumane conditions, denied medical treatment, you know, deliberately on purpose because you're incarcerated. Just simply because they incarcerate a political prisoner, you got to realize that more than just incarceration, they're here to humiliate you on every level and in every turn in which you feel that you can borrow a sense of stability, a sense of your own self. So let me say this here, and then I'm going to get back to Brother Curtis and then Sister May I speak out, and then everybody, as y'all know, we're going to have a round table. Everybody can jump in when they get ready. But let me say this here, y'all. Don't ever think that you're alone in there, because like I reached out to you, Brother Omar, when you saw me in the Nation of Islam, I want people to be able to continue to see, just like my Sister Mayat, who is my co-host tonight. Man, we are two of a special kind, you know, because we are on this show tonight not to look good, not to just say something to impress somebody, but we're on the show so that we can make a difference in you, brothers and sisters, whether you're incarcerated, whether you're outside here, you got a place to come, if we can write letters from you, if we can do email, whatever we need, if we can get somebody out here, that's what this show is all about. As y'all know today, we got people that's all across the globe listening to us right now, Detroit, Chicago, Tennessee, Florida, on and on and on. So our word is getting out there. So let me say this here right quick, and then I'll give y'all the flow right back. Whenever you stand out to be a fight against the racist white supremacist, you're fighting against a system that's designed to corrupt and or control your very mannerisms, because they want to silence you by any means necessary because you are a threat to their establishment. And as I told Brother Curtis Mullins here, a good friend of mine from Tulsa, who I've known for eons of years, he has been a great mentor to me, as I've been to many, and again, he's still giving up the fight, and his brother is not playing, and he means business. Again, I can't wait to visit him. So, Brother Curtis, tell me a little bit about what's going on with you now in this political scene, man. You said something about you can't work with a lot of churches and things because they're not listening. What's going on with that?
The political and the religious community is out of step with the community.
Wow.
They are controlled by the people who control the money. I'm talking about Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I believe that.
They don't have a clue of what's happening. I have written them about murders in the penitentiary, and not one of them has responded to me. They got people that have died.
Wow, man.
And they relatives don't even know they dead.
That's right. Yeah. I know that. Sure.
Getting back to Rochelle, Sinque McGee. He's a brilliant attorney. Now he done got a lot of people out of jail.
Yes, he has.
But his suits has not gotten him out of jail. This is the reason that I went in and started helping him. Now he was involved in a legal attempt to get to a radio station to tell the world that he and many prisoners were being held in slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say legal attempt. In 1841, the Amistad case, has any of you ever heard it, they made a movie about it. These Africans took over a boat, and they sailed a boat to Massachusetts, and in the process of them taking over the boat, some of the crew was killed, and Quincy Adams, who was at one time president of the United States of America, took their case on, and he proved in federal court that they had the legal right to attempt to escape because they was captured and put in slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot enslave a free man was the outcome of the case.
Mm-hmm.
So when Rochelle and Jonathan Jackson and Christmas decided that they was going to take over a van said they had the van, but they were going to get in the van after they left the courtroom with hostages. You can call them hostages.
I remember that day like it was yesterday.
And they and they left. They were leaving, and Ronald Reagan told the police, "Don't let them leave." And they opened fire on them. And
that's
they,
right.
The people that was with Jonathan Jackson, and they all of them were killed, and a woman was wounded, and the judge had his head blown off, and the district attorney was paralyzed from the waist down.
Now, I remember that one.
Yeah,
let me just interrupt just very briefly, brother. Thank you for that those insightful words of wisdom as well as history. And let me go up with another common everyday, actually two political prisons I know for a fact are political prisons of modern day's time, and that is Amir Abu-Jamal, who was sentenced in 1981 for the murder of a Philadelphia police officer. Now, we know why that brother's in a brilliant journalist who's done nothing but fight for the freedom, justice, and equality of his people, who actually use his journalist skills to reveal and expose the treachery of the judicial system, and himself got caught up in it rather than be killed. He told him, "Look here, man, you're not going to take me out." And they said that he was actually the one who murdered the police officer, but actually he was protecting himself. And then, again, I know all of us know Imam Jamal Al-Amin, formerly known as H-Rap Brown. In 2002, he was sentenced again for the killing of a police officer and wounding another. However, the store manager who ran a store for him up there in Georgia stated, "Hey, I was the one with the shootout." So, again, these brothers, you got to realize now, these brothers here were connected to the civil rights struggle of the 1960s, and also H.R. Brown was actually a former Black Panther member. Mayotte, what do you think about what I just said about that?
You know, it's like I was saying earlier, you know, they try their hardest to silence people that are telling the truth, people that are affecting real change in the community, and bringing light to, you know, their deceptive ways. And they don't like that. So any possible thing that they can find, you know, to lock our men and our women up, our political prisoners, they'll do it. You know, they watch you. They pay attention to you. That's their pattern. They do that because they know as soon as this person just remotely is in the wrong place at the wrong time, when something happens, we're going to just come up with something. We're just going to pin it on them because that's the easiest way to get them out of society. So it makes me upset because I know that they're still doing this, and it's some that we probably won't even know about. And that's the crazy part about it. They'll silence the family. They'll silence people around them. They will silence the truth no matter what it costs them. Even one of their people, they like, okay, whatever, but we're going to silence you and get rid of them at the same time. Or, you know, or just throw it away and just say, as long as we can get him or her off these streets, we know that they're going to open their eyes to what we're doing. And we can't have that. We want them to ultimately go prison pipeline. You know what I mean? That's all we want. You know, we don't want y'all to be free. We want to continue to use y'all as slaves.
Wow.
And they won't call us slaves, but we all know what that is. You know, they have other people fooled behind that. And no, when you get locked up there and you're telling the truth and nothing that you've done has landed you there at all, period, and you know for sure you got evidence, all these things, they're trying to silence you. And that's the thing, it happens. I know it happens, and I know what kind of breaks my heart is the fact that there's some people that we don't even know about.
Oh, heck yeah.
And it's just like, when does this stop? When does it stop?
That's right. Hey, I can hear it in your voice, man. Hang on, sister. We're going to get you, though, because, hey, we're going to rock the house. I mean, I feel your passion. I feel your realness. I feel your intelligence. I feel your madness about what's going on, which everybody in that right common sense would be, man. Brother Brian, what's up with you, man?
Oh, man, I'm sitting here listening to it. You know, like she was saying, when is it going to stop? You know, the way I see it, I don't think it's ever going to stop.
Wow, that's tight.
You know, when you're dealing with a bad spirit, that's been roaming since the beginning of time. I don't think, you know, a lot of people understand it's out of their control. It's what's going to happen. It's what is written. You know what I mean? This is the way a lot of things are. You know, and I try to wake the brothers up in here and tell them, look, man, you think you're free. Just because they signed the Emancipation Proclamation and said you was free didn't make you no citizen. You didn't have no prisons, no work camps before then. You know what I mean? So once they freed us, now they got to figure out what to do with us. So now they lock us up. She's very correct.
Wow.
It is slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We were never meant to be citizens.
Yeah, that's right. That's why you didn't come over. And then, right, matter of fact, right now, still in the Constitution of the United States, it's buried in the auspices of pages. They didn't remove anything when they told that you were 3/5 a human being. You definitely still are today. You see, the 3/5 human being was actually during the political system, actually for political votes against the Democrats, who was actually the Republicans felt very well because y'all had all the slaves in the South. Y'all were going to triple team us and double team us by using them blacks to definitely win every seat every time. So therefore, instead of considering blacks as whole, they called them as 3/5. Now you get a history about why they call them 3/5. In other words, so 3/5 mean of every vote, 3/5 of a black person represented it. So that means that not many people are voting anyway, but that's what you call a voting block. But the point of the matter is that because we were considered 3/5, we didn't get a chance to vote in many primaries and many actual national elections in that regard. So, again, brother, I appreciate you for your comments on that. All right, brother Omar, I ain't going to let you go. What's up, man?
What's going on, bro?
what you think about it? What's going on, man, about this political prisoners, man? And what are we going to do, man, about the wake up African-Americans up here in the Western Hemisphere or whatever name you want to call us? Again, we really don't know who we are. First, we're black, we're brown, we're Negro, African-American. I don't know what are we going to be next. But anyhow, whichever one you want to choose, go ahead. Tell us what we need to do.
And reading this book called Those Who Know Don't Say, written by Garrett Felber, and talking about the little known struggles that the Nation of Islam had behind bars, basically being so many invisible struggles for, you know, that were raised within the prison system, as far as, you know, not being able to have religious rights and just basically proper diet and, you know, against brutality. And I'm just learning more and more that, you know, that's always been my mission to bring what's going on forward with this new farm. I'm reading the book, and that was going on in the 1960s, and I would see they were so afraid of prisoners. I mean, they were going to the hole just for filing writs, you know, just for filing a motion. They were taking people to the hole and taking away pens and everything. And it made me think about, you know, how nowadays, you know, the situation I'm in, you can file all the motions in the world, but the problem is the court ain't going by the law.
That's not really.
Like, keep on filing, we're going to keep denying. It's, you know, so my issue is freeourbrothers.com, and it just shows how much with this, when they came up with that anti-terrorism and effective death penalty act passed in the 90s, you know, the act I'm talking about by Bill Clinton, to shut down a lot of habeas corpus rights to so-called speed up the so-called justice in the courts. What they were doing is basically didn't want brothers to get to file for their freedom and to get immediately released, you know, and this is what's going on nowadays, you know. So I'm asking the people to please support freeourbrothers.com and Instagram at freeourbrothers. I need to bring this issue forward to a law enforcement in Colorado because the system has changed so much. I was thinking, man, well, they pins don't mean a whole lot back in the 1960s. So, but they now they just like, well, our job is to make you invisible and hide behind the new Jim Crow.
I
call it the same old new twist, you know. But basically, they want to just wipe our voices out. So thank you for this platform and everybody.
I see.
Comrade, too, that were talking about his struggles finding up another prison area. And when I read and hear about stuff like that, it really gets me amped up, man.
Hey, that's what this show is about. It's about letting the people who have the voice get their voice out who otherwise wouldn't have their voices out. Y'all know me, man. Sister May, we already plotted and planned. We know the administration don't like us. We've been getting calls following us and all this old stuff and one and eight peeking out around the corners and all. You know what that does? It lets you know we're doing the right thing. And we're not going to be stopped. We're not going to be tolerated. We're not afraid of them. And matter of fact, next time we see one of them, we're going to eat ice cream coming in front of their face and not I'm
crazy.
You know what I mean? Hey, man, it just get us fired up, don't it?
Yeah, I just started laughing. I'm like,
come on, brother.
The other brother spoke earlier about you know, him intervening on the prison killings and things like that, you know what I'm saying, from around Tulsa, I believe. I just want to say something, you know, whenever you start having incarceration for profit, it don't really matter about the killings, because that's gonna be their way to justify the money staying coming in their pocket. To keep mine in their pocket. See, they're gonna allow them killings. They're gonna create situations in these prisons. They're gonna say that these killings will happen, because that's how they're gonna use these people to go in and campaign the legislation to keep these prisons here, to keep this money coming.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They can care less about a killer. A killing, hey, oh well. But their money is
right.
If they got a reason, if they got a reason to keep this prison here, well, look how they doing each other. See, they're killing each other. But they're not telling you they creating that environment. They're not telling you that. Now, I'll tell you something. Man, there was a gentleman over here who got killed. The man was in the cell dead for 2 days.
What?
Why are you
They ain't even
serious?
Know. They ain't even know.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Man, now you...
Don't
they count? Don't they have counts or something? Don't you have to move when they count to make sure you're in there or whatever?
Then look here. It's not what you think. It is not what you think.
Man.
You know, this environment here, you know, they want the taxpayers' money to keep it coming, because this money goes in their pocket. And then they want to tell the taxpayers, you know, well, we're protecting you from these people. Okay, but when you get behind this fence and you really see this thing other than visitation, you start to realize, wait a second, are they really protecting us, or are they creating more of an issue? Because when these people come out, they got problems from what they done dealt with in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of this environment has created people to be a certain way. And they don't mind it because it keeps what they call a recidivism rate. Now they got you coming back. That's just money in their pocket.
Gotcha. Ooh, that's powerful, man. You're on point there.
You know what I mean?
So Curtis, you hear what you're talking about? What's up, man?
We got to remember that.
I hear you, and what I was trying to say is that Rochelle McGee had the judge's body exhumed because they accused him of killing the judge. And they exhumed him and formed an autopsy on the judge who got his head blown off. They accused Rochelle of murdering the judge. Well, when they performed the autopsy, they found out that a police bullet through the heart of the cop, or the judge, is what killed him. And he was found not guilty of killing the judge, and he was found not guilty of attempting to escape, because the president of the United States, Quincy Adams, who defended the Amistad applicants of murdering their enslavers, that was Rochelle's political argument. They found him not guilty of that also. And he's
still put him down in prison. Wow.
I just finished like
that. So you sound like felony murder way back then.
Yeah. Oh, well, man. Oh, man, sure was. Look at
that. California and the Attorney General of California. The Attorney General of California, they had lost Rochelle's not guilty verdicts.
They lost it. Oh, man.
The Attorney General of California said at Rochelle's probation hearing that he found the not guilty verdicts, and he's still in jail.
They can't find that man not guilty verdict. When you got people who were in the court, you got bailiffs who were witnesses, you got people that's all across the globe it was a nationwide murder for hire in the whole works. I mean, everybody knew about it. It was all on the TV, because I remember it in the 60s. And you're going to try to tell me that nobody didn't realize that man was set free, found not guilty, and he's still in that today? What is that kind of system that we're living in, man? Scruff?
They don't care, because they know that the community that they're dealing with are people that are oblivious
of their own circumstances of suffering.
Yes, sir. Facts.
And exploitation, that the slightest thing that they do, they punished for it. Their children can't get an education. Their mothers and fathers can't get medical care. And these veterans who went and died fighting in Korea in the Second World War, they won't even get. It took me 28 years to get my military benefits. I was drafted in the service.
Hey, that's something, man.
They couldn't even find my records. So my daughter went searching, and they found pieces of my records. You know?
Ain't that something, man? Try to lose you in the lost you in the sauce, man. Man, I talk to me. What's going on, Ronnie? What are we going to do about this situation?
We got to educate. We got to educate one another. We have to educate one another. We got
Come on, man. Yeah. What'd you say?
Just like the person was just saying, education, because, you know, they do try to keep our society, you know, or the news in general, the news, other radio stations that are controlled by them, they like to control media, show a different picture other than what is actually going on. If people people actually saw what was going on, their minds would be like, oh, heck no, we're not going to put up with that. He or she may not even be my relative, but that, you know, that same thing can happen to me. Just because you look at us as still, like he said, 3/5 of a human still. So
yes, right.
I don't respect this at all. Not even a little. Everything is fly or snaky or they're misinforming everybody.
America is in more serious trouble than even they realize. People are on the verge of revolting violently.
You seen what they did on that January 6th last year?
The question that was raised. The question that was raised on the internet, which you probably won't ever see, is, young man, what would you do if you had a 357 Magnum and an extra clip and the police was beating up on a little 10-year-old boy?
I hate to think.
What would you do? That was the question. We had a,
you know what, and they create situations like that, brother.
They know what eventually is going to happen. They know that eventually a man is going to pull out a pistol and start to killing the police, regardless of what the consequences might be. He ain't going to about the consequence. Will there be 4 or 5 cops laying dead out in the street?
Man, it's coming to that point. You see, in Oklahoma City already, the police been getting shot down there. I'm telling you, on my life now, 3 or 4 days straight, man, here in Oklahoma City. I'm talking about running in and shot at, and he's killing people. Tell you, man, straight up. I'm not lying. Four straight days in Oklahoma City.
Hey, well, my problem is, like the brother was saying, how do we have so much fear of them? But yet, still, we tear each other down the way. I don't get that. We'll do each other bad. What would we do if we seen the cop doing that?
It's confusing.
What would we do if we seen the cop doing that? But why do we, you know, how do we do each other? It makes it easier for them to do us any kind of way, because we're doing each other any kind of way instead of standing up standing up and saying, hey, that could be me. You know what I mean? This could be me, my son, anybody.
This is the most informative program I have heard. I came to Oklahoma. One man said he killed the police in self-defense.
I said, but we don't play here. You know, I told the people of Boston.
He said, you can kill the police in self-defense. And the man said, what are you crazy?
Hey, man, they might be able to get rid of homeboy, because, like I said, in doing those 4 shootouts, guess what? Those brothers had weapons and were firing back at those folks, man. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It wasn't just no one, because they already know the intent of the police is to take you out anyway because you're black skin, home, so they got off on them first. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Shit,
right.
Man, if people ain't,
you know,
they
think,
no
think
more, man.
I think if they strip them of that qualified immunity, you know what I'm saying, and start holding them accountable for their actions, and then see what happens. I think we'll get a different officer on duty.
Yeah,
but as long as they
yeah.
got
oh, yeah, they'll be
immunity where, you know, hey, yeah, they can do what they want, then that's different.
When I told them that I supported,
you're right, bro. I say.
When I told them that I supported the Black Liberation Army, the African American Liberation Army, and the Black Panther Party for Self Defense, they beat me up again. You know.
I know, Curtis. Come on, man. Especially during the time when you were coming around in '60s and with Black Panther and actually holding publications and thing and pass out pamphlets, you know I know they're going to get you, brother, man. You were a target. Hell, ain't no question. Like I told you, me and my aunt right now, hell, we go away. We got car followers. Like I say, next time we're going to eat an ice cream cone in their face and not offer it to them and tell them, get your ass on. You can't have none of it.
I feel so proud.
Ryan, you know how we do it, girl. Shit, I ain't playing for people, man. Hey, everybody, come on, man. Everybody, come on, y'all. The floor's open. We still got about 25 minutes, so y'all, I mean, the floor's open now. So we talk about basically anything you want. That's what we want to get that point out front about what we, come on, what you got?
Oh, I already knew that, you know, once I, you know, I would say declare my independence from this godforsaken.
Yeah.
I already was the target. And people was like, oh, well, why do you think like that? It's because I'm telling the truth. Is it because I'm exposing what they're doing? You know what I mean? And I was like, you know, and I do understand now, you know, at this point in time and even before how our other revolutionaries and political prisoners feel, because it's either they're going to try to put you in jail or they're going to try to kill you.
Come on.
Either
there's nothing
you know, and use whoever and whatever to try to, you know, to try to take you down or shut you up or anything like that. So I was like, you know, that's why our motto at Fred Hampton Gun Club is freedom or death. It's freedom or death, and then death over bondage is the one.
Talk
that
to me
we
a little bit about Fred Hampton Gun Club since you brought it up. Come on, what's up with
say,
it?
Fred Hampton Gun Club is pretty much, we're almost in every state. We're still expanding. So we're a revolutionary gun club. We teach knowledge of self, teach our history. Not only that, of course, us being a gun club, we teach gun safety, gun education. We teach all these things because we know where it's going to go. We know eventually we're going to have to fight our way out of this instead of in the positions that we are in right now, whether it comes by somebody else attacking this country and us dividing or us pretty much rising all the way up. So we teach that so that when that happens, you know,
I know you're excited. I get confused at times. I said, boy, say a word.
Hey, Spencer got a good point there, boy. You better equip to handle yourself.
You'll be able to protect yourself, you know what I mean? And for me, I was in situations to where, you know, I was like, well, you know, I don't know about having a gun. You know, I don't think the world's so bad. That's when they had me all washed up in the head. Until I figured out, like, oh, they trying to kill us. You know what I mean? They trying to.
Yes, ma'am. Look at this.
You know, I'm like, oh, no. You ain't finna take me out. If you do, I'm taking about five or six of y'all with me. So let's not go there.
You have to think that way. There's no way around it. You know, because the revolution, I'm going to tell y'all, the war between Armageddon of good and evil, I'm trying to tell you, the Bible was not just a word of just conversation. It's going on right now. Race wars are going on right now as we speak, and we are outnumbered because we have the police, the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines all against us. So when it breaks out, look who we're going up against. Bottom line, y'all, I'm just going to keep it real with you. We ain't going to talk it up.
I mean, they're the same. The Army, the Marines, and the Air Force, they're the same ones protecting and serving in the blue line flag badge thing
that
you're wearing.
Down here, it's all kind of people, oh, I support this, I support that. So do you know what they're doing? You know what I mean? And also, you know, I just ran into two or three Klans members just going to work.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Hey, brother,
Omar, you've been kind of quiet, man. What's up with you, bro? I mean, we talk to you, man. We want to keep you company because you over that way. Come on, talk with us.
Oh, man, I'm just, you know, taking everything in, brother, you know. It's, as the sister was talking, I was thinking about, I can see how, the, you know, one of the reasons, talking about political prisoners, why the prison system wants to keep away the powerful brothers, you know.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
man.
Powerful women in our community because, you know, when you have two minds coming together like that and creating, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, it can be very destructive to their aims, to say the least, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Deliberate design to promote homosexuality.
Oh,
man. Yes, sir.
That's
you can't even, you know, sometimes you can't even get a, they only want you hugging your woman, but they'll move a homosexual and stuff.
Oh, of course, man. You know the game.
Request that.
Sure.
That is deliberately designed to take away that black masculinity and to put a big gulf between, like sister said, who know yourself, you know, men who know themselves and who strive to know themselves and who want to also uphold and protect our women, you know, to elevate them. So I was thinking about that. And also, you know, this platform is very beautiful, brother, because being a revolutionary in a state where men don't know themselves, it's like an intellectual solitary confinement. So
yeah, sir. Of course, brother. That's what we want to give to you. Yes, we want to let y'all know. Come on, go ahead. Go ahead, brother. We want to let y'all know. You're not alone, brother, man. I done told you. It's us or Gus, bottom line. Shit, bottom line. I don't care about what these people think about me. Have you already noticed that by now? I go in their courtrooms. Go to my Facebook page. I go in their courtrooms. I go to city council meetings, county jails. Oh, well, sucker. Y'all, here I come, and I don't bow down on nothing with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't
need more brothers like that. We need way more brothers like that. Man, we need to be teaching each other to be like that.
And we got the public standing up for political prisoners. Richard DeRuba Moore. Richard DeRuba Moore was locked up and accused of shooting two police officers in front of the district attorney's house in Manhattan. The night that the police officer was shot, me and Richard DeRuba Moore were together, and we wasn't nowhere near where the police got shot at.
Oh, they don't care.
The court three times and explained to them that it was impossible for him to have shot them police officers because me and him was together. The third trial, an all-white jury found him guilty and sentenced him to 25 years of life. He spent 19 years in jail before were able to prove that the district attorney, the judge, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation knew that he was innocent and let him stay in jail for 19 years before he got
released. Oh, they know it all. They know it all the time.
Know it.
So we got
to know that. Come on, are you guilty to proving innocent?
They made it very difficult for me, but I had to stand up and come up and tell them that you got the wrong man. You got the wrong man. You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job, man. If you have it once a week, you open up some people's eyes.
Brother Curtis, I want y'all to come back next week because we do follow-ups. This is not the last, but next Saturday, same time, same place. We're going to follow up because we can't just let it get the gravy with the biscuit. I want the meat to go with it, too.
y'all inspired me tonight.
We got Brother Bomani on the line. We're going to get with him in just a second. But, hey, let me tell y'all, no. He's another political prisoner as well. But what I'm trying to say, brother, we're not a one-hit wonder. You already know that, Curtis. Next Saturday, same time, same place, let our political prisoners go. We mean business. We're not asking, we demand it. And you're going to listen to us.
I'm going to let
you say whether you want to or not. That's it, Brother Bomani. Give him a few words. He just got on. Come on, Brother Bomani. You got something you want to see? He's a political prisoner, too, who's locked up and fights for his freedom as well. And talk to us, brother. He's in South Carolina. Man, they'll tell you what. All this stuff just going on. It can't be by accident. Come on. He's from South Carolina. Talk to him, Bomani.
It's not by accident. It's definitely more like divine intervention just to have this platform.
I mean, okay. Just to be able to reach out to people who are in the struggle as well. You know, we're all fighting for our liberation. This is a freedom movement. And we're just exposing the obvious about mass incarceration. For 50 years, mass incarceration has been decimating our communities. I mean,
yes, sir.
Along with drugs, they've just been destroying our lives year after year, stealing years of our lives from each other, from our people, stealing our economics from our families and our communities. They've been destroying us slowly, you know, for profit. So
that's
it's been
right.
genocide, but it's been profitable for them. It's been big business. This prison industrial complex they have amassed. So we definitely need to understand what we're dealing with and understand how to combat this thing. You know, we have to get on a campaign. We have to get on their level. You know, there's some things that we can do that we haven't even considered. So we just need to sit down as family and have a family meeting, call a timeout, and get our heads in the game. You know, we have a lot of things that we can do, but we just need to figure out what we're going to do and do it.
Oh, boy, now, hey,
brother,
you said a mouthful on that one. And then, like I said, go ahead. The real revolutionaries need to stand up with us, y'all, because, like I said, we got the ideas, we got the intelligence, we got the mindset. We just don't have the direction in which we can really be in our own lane and at the same time become connected intellectually. See, there you go, man. I did it just like you. Stay together collectively, connected to like one body. I mean, you have a body, but you have your hand, your feet, your eyes, your ears, and nose and eyes to go with it, right? All on one tree. So we have to really do that and in ourselves to see that just like that branch, we have to become that tree. And as long as we see that we have, there's a fight, let me tell y'all something right quick, then y'all again, y'all know this is open mic, y'all can get ready to do what you want to do. But let me say this right quick. There are more than 2.5 million people currently incarcerated here in the United States in the state and federal prison system, including the county jails. Now, listen to this, y'all. Can y'all see how many people that is? Look how much money they're making at approximately $27,000 per head. I'm talking average. That's something more than that. I said average. Okay, at 2.5 million times 27,000 a year? Are y'all kidding me? And you talking about they want to open some doors up? No, no, no. And guess what? The United States prison system rakes in, listen carefully, more than $80.7 billion a year to run their corrections department.
Yes, right. Yes, sir.
Think about that.
Incarceration for profit.
Yeah, and that's right. Mass incarceration, what the brother just spoke about a while ago. And guess what here? Not only that, the legislators are the ones who are promoting and profiteering in the creation of the private prison system, which we know is a $30 billion a year industry.
Yes, sir.
Somebody got something to say on it. Come on, talk to me.
They line in their pockets with it, brother. They line in their pockets with it. I'm talking about at the cost of our people. They line in their pockets. You know what I mean? We need to first, as a people, amass wealth, amass some type of wealth.
Come on.
Because when you have
Come
something
on,
to work with, then you can fight them. We can talk all we want, but we got to amass some wealth as a whole and come together and have things that are of value. You know what I'm saying? We can say what we want, but once you start amassing value, things, you know what I'm saying, wealth, things that can actually, you can use that can get you further to propel your people, you know what I'm saying, forward to the future, then you'll start seeing actual change because now you got something to fight with other than just your words.
No, come on. Oh,
that's why
they're
making
all this
money off these prison systems.
Come on now.
They're paid off this prison system. See, they're collecting all that wealth. Just like here in Oklahoma, this belongs to the Indians, but they're collecting all that wealth. You see what I'm saying? So as long as you got the wealth, there's something that you really don't have much to say against those with the money. Once we start coming together as a people and we start saying, you know what, we're going to stand for something. We're not going to just fall for anything. And we start amassing wealth and putting that wealth towards our objective, then we'll start actually seeing change because that money gonna move things. That money gonna move things. Lip's not gonna really move too much, nothing but a head.
I was kind of thinking that, you know, we'll really go for what's really valuable. Money's a means to an end. Money is just a the real power. The power comes from calling shots on a territory. You have to be able to.
Yes, sir.
Set up policy. You got to have the power to pin. That's the real power. That's where policy is made. That's where business is done. That's where you set up banking institutions. That's where the real power lies. And we can do that by organizing It doesn't take money.
Our own base.
So that's where we have to start. We have to start with the grassroots and organize our neighbors to join in and withdraw our consent from being governed by our historical enemies, first and foremost, and stop playing, you know, their whipping post. They're no longer allowed to have access to our children. We're not sending our children to their schools. We're establishing our own everything. So that's the first thing we have to do. We have to have an idea that we are self, you know, we're actually self-determined to do for ourselves. We don't need people to think for us. We can think for ourselves and do for ourselves, and that's where we got to start. We got to get our people on the same page to have that conversation.
That is true. That is true. But, you know, again, brother, we got to have money, though. You know, in order to take care of ourselves, in order to do things for ourselves, we have to be able to fund it. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. We're saying, like, you know, money is the main thing now.
First, you got to have a collective vision.
Hold on, who's that? Go ahead.
The Black Panther Party for self-defense together was self-defense. Once they came together around self-defense, everything fell into place.
Protecting your interest, number one. Okay.
That's the only thing that's going to bring us together is self-defense, because these people are bringing these people from these foreign countries that were mercenaries for them over here and putting them on the police department, and they shooting pregnant women in the belly.
That's what I was saying. You got to be able to see the territories.
Maya, where you at? Where you gone?
No, I'm here. I'm very much here on this call. Well,
that's what's going to save us. If we don't have the territory, let me say this.
Let me get a number in. Come on. She's been patient. Talk to me.
Just like the elder said, we have to see what worked and what didn't work for our people before us. Self-defense put us in the position that we are in now, in order to do what we're doing right here. Money, all that, you know, we need that. We need money to fund the self-defense, portion, to promote our businesses and make money flow through our own community, so that then we can purchase that territory or that land.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what? We bought up all of this. And you can't say nothing, got a paper trail. Even though we're still underneath their system, we would have much more of a pool if we got money. And that's what every other race of people in this
race,
country
political party,
knows.
And all that.
They know.
Yeah.
And over here, if they got money, they can move stuff. If the Mexicans from Mexico originally got money.
Come on, man. Come on, sister.
That's the thing. We have to do things in order. We cannot jump the gun, because if we jump the gun, we have already destroyed our plan already.
That's what I'm trying to
understand. Everything is important, but in its place and in its time.
Exactly. The first thing first is the kingdom. We have to have the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. You want to hook the carriage up to the horse, okay? So the horse is self-determination. That's the first thing. That's the number one principle. Hold on. Don't interrupt. Please. Let me just get this out so we can all understand. The foundation of a nation is self-determination. That's what you got to have a defense of. That's why the Panther Party failed, because it didn't have a national plan. It didn't have a nationalizing of territory. You have to have a territory. Now, once you have a territory and you have the population with you on there, now you have to have a governing body. Those three principles are what you need for a nation. You can have a city state at that point in time. All you have to do is be able to defend it. Occupying it already. You're already occupying it. We're there. We're here. All we have to do is put it into the play. We're already here. We have to assert. That's what
we're we understand what you're saying, bro. We understand that part. We understand that part, Worth. You're true about that, brother. That's, you're definitely right about that. But at the same time, it don't matter whether you're here, there, or anywhere. If you don't have the finances to support your nation, to take care of that territory, see, they got a tax for a tax for a tax. You know what I mean? And where you going to get that moolah, huh? You don't know, but you got to pay that tax. Okay. You know, so they want that money. So at the end of the day, we can have a nation of people. We can be as strong as we want. But if we don't have the financial capital to make our agenda move, then, you know, hey, we just here. We have to come together and build our nation.
I gotta add to this. You know, if we acknowledge the Red Summer and all of these things where they destroyed our black towns, where they, you know, pretty much murdered us, we've got to understand what we're going against, and we have
to be
on the defensive side, because if we just build and be like, we've established ourselves and we've done this, they're going to do the same thing they did to our ancestors to us if we don't have no form of defense, period. They train them early, their children, they get them prepared for war before they become teens. They have
having target practices.
So they train them. And then on top of that, to add white supremacy on top of that, I've seen it. With people just like that, calling me niggas and calling me all kind of and they were out in their
home. Even more reason for us to be pulling together.
Let me put it about two, since I was listening to all y'all what's going on here. Let me put my spin on it, because y'all definitely, I mean, hey, let me tell you what. Neither one of y'all has pointed out a wrong point. So collectively, when you put every angle together that you're talking about, y'all don't hear me. So regardless whether I think the horse should be here or the tennis shoe over there, guess what? When you put them all together, look what a compatible, connected force, insurmountable force that we have to deal with. But at the same time, when you've got money, you got to have a security force so don't no outsider come in and think he can break down
that circle,
because when you break down that door, we ain't going to ask you what you're doing. We're going to put cap in your ass, then you're going to talk about it later on, and then they're going to pack your ass away. Man, ain't going to be no talking no more. You know what I mean? The revolution comes through here. The revolution will not be televised, y'all. It's going to be through actions and deed and practice. They have to know that we mean business now, man. I mean, hey, we got the intelligence. We got the knowledge. We got the wisdom. It's just that we don't have the unity that's necessary to propel us forward into the new generation. Our kids are the ones suffering most. Go ahead, somebody, talk to me.
I got about two minutes apiece,
y'all. You ready to cut me off? Got 2 minutes apiece. Go ahead. Whoever want to take off.
They're suffering, you know, because we are not teaching them what is actually going on in the world and who we are.
Yes, ma'am.
Once they realize that we have black heroes, we have all these people that stood up for us, and not just a limited amount of individuals that they give us access to, and that they have butchered their stories, you know, then our people, our children, understand the power of being an African descendant. And they're not going to put up with crap that they give them out here. So if we do that on a mass level, teach self-knowledge, and like the gentleman said earlier, self-determination, we teach that early to them. We feed them all those things that they need up front, you know, before the, you know, school system tries to program them into this getting, you know, locked up early, getting in gangs and killing each other, and they're creating the enemy for us when we didn't create that. They did. Gangs was not created for what they are right now. So if we get to them early, let them know, you know, all these valuable things that they need to know early, they won't be afraid of what's going on right now. They'll know what to do because they've seen mama, daddy, uncle, mentor, all these revolutionary people that they have in their lives. They're not going to put up with anything. So that's just my intake on it. It's the self-knowledge and self-determination.
Wow.
Pick this off.
Okay, right. Brother Brown, come on, talk to me now. We're winding down. I'll let my last part.
Like you said, you know, saying self-determination is definitely important. You know, I think we need to, as a people, we need to have a little more pride in our culture. You know what I mean? We're the only culture that has music played on the public radio about killing one another. You know what I mean? You don't see that in no country music or nothing else. So I think we need to have a little more pride and love for our fellow brother. You know what I'm saying? As she was stating earlier, you know, that could be my brother. That could be my son. It could be my uncle that something's happening to.
Right.
And then our hearts will change. You know what I mean? We got to have that agape love, that love of the Lord. You know what I mean? We got to share that with one another and encourage each other to move forward, you know what I'm saying, in the right way. And if you don't know, I'll show you. To each one, teach one. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never too old to learn. You know what I mean? So, you know, if one don't know, don't feel so bad about going and pulling the brother or sister up and say, hey, come on, I got you. You know what I mean? Because you want a mind. I got you. Let's go. To each one, teach one. We got to empower each other to move forward.
All right, Brother
Bomani,
come on now.
We definitely have to get it together. We have to come together on a common causes. I mean, we have plenty of fires put out, people. I mean, there's not a shortage of work. Sit down and analyze what we're going to tackle first. I vote for mass incarceration. I think we need to be moved for amnesty. I think we need to be convince our so-called allies and friends to agree that we should be emptying this mass incarceration embarrassment of the free and just give justice to the people who've been wronged by mass incarceration via amnesty. I think that's one of the most important things that we can do in this year, in 2020. I think that needs to be the number one objective of 2022 is to end mass incarceration. We saw from what happened in 2020 how deadly mass incarceration truly is, because we found out that half of the infections of COVID came from prison confinement. 9 of 10 of the largest super spreaders were from place of confinement. And place of confinement experienced double the amount of casualties due to the lack of treatment. So these places are places of death, and they keep called communicable diseases floating around in them. So they have tuberculosis and all other kind of things creeping around in here. So that's why they need to be very much emptied out. They're overdone. Number one, this is mass incarceration to the fullest, and it's for profit. It's not for benefit of the people. So we're going to go to We the People and start asking, well, we're going to make a – there's already a petition out that was just released last week for the end of mass incarceration via amnesty. You can go to www.mypower.app, and you can go to –
Say that again, brother. Say that again, brother. Www what?
Mypower.app.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then go to chain.org, and it's in mass incarceration now. So those two we have for amnesty, so we can go ahead and end mass incarceration evils that have been perpetrated on families and individuals who have been locked up for too long. You have those who are actually innocent in there, like myself. I've been kidnapped for 17 and a half years for something I had nothing to do with. And if you act like I've killed somebody, and they talk about somebody that robbed a place I ain't never been in, and they said it was done with a toy gun.
Wow.
So I don't know what they're talking about, because they took my gun from me and almost killed me that night.
I almost died
that night.
Man, I heard that. I'm going to have to cut y'all right here, y'all, because they're getting ready to cut me out. But, you know, our room is always going to be open. Let me say this right quick before we go. All right, everybody, thank y'all for joining us, People Power Radio, tonight. We are definitely pleased that we had several guests tonight who gave us their very brilliant ideas, concepts, beliefs, and opinions. And, I mean, it went well over a lot of folks. Thank you from New Orleans. Thank you from Georgia. Thank you from Philadelphia. Thank you from New Orleans, New York, Miami, Denver, and on and on and on. Thank y'all for listening in. We hope that we've given y'all something tonight to think about. And, again, as always, if you have an idea for a show, you can contact Baba Wetapa right here in Oklahoma City, Michael Washington, the Tree Shaker, at area code 405-246-9089. Again, that's area code 405-246-9089. And as y'all know, I am the founder of a local nonprofit called Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, Empower People Incorporated, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. We will not hesitate to challenge the powers that be. We will not hesitate to challenge their powers, their lies, their deceits, their half-truths, the evil, vicious ways. And if you got something to talk about, hey, let us ideas. Your ideas matters. If you want to talk about Pillsbury Doughboy, as long as Pillsbury Doughboy talking about being a revolutionary, hell, we ain't got no problem with it. As long as you're talking about amassing people together and making a change, hey, that's all we're talking about here, y'all. So, again, we want to thank everybody for joining us in. Also, thank you, Marilyn, for always, and John, Victoria, Andy, Raymond. Thank y'all so much for joining us and continue to be on our radio show, because y'all know without y'all, we would be nothing. Again, this is People Power Radio. It's your show. So I'm getting ready to end it right here. However, we have about 4 minutes or so. The radio show will still be on after that time. I just wanted to say this here so I would not go and end the show very irresponsibly or disrespecting anyone, just being cut off without you knowing about it. So, again, after I finish speaking, if it cuts off on us, you'll know that, again, I wish y'all one love, one peace, one happiness, one mind, one soul. Again, this is Michael Washington right here in Oklahoma City, Baba Wetofa. We're still going to be on air for about 4 minutes. Again, y'all going to still hear us in our back room. But after that time, once we're off the air, you will no longer hear us. Again, we're going to continue next week on the same topic where we're going to deal with let our political prisoners go, and we mean business right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not in a few minutes. We mean now. Bottom line, it is us. It's our autonomy. It's our freedom, justice, and equality, and we will not tolerate or accept anything less. Thank y'all very much. Y'all have a very wonderful, blessed night tonight. And maybe one thing, let me tell you one thing before you go. Hug your loved one. Tell them you love them tonight, because tomorrow isn't promised. Be blessed, everybody, and good night. Have a blessed, wonderful night. Again, y'all, we're still on the air, but again, y'all in our back room, so people can still hear us. So continue where you were. I just wanted to say that. Now y'all have the floor. You got 3 minutes to say what you want. Go ahead. Anybody you want to talk about, any topic you want.
Yeah. Anybody, ladies first?
Yeah, anybody. Just go ahead and talk. I mean, you're like, we still got 3 minutes.
I say ladies first. You know what I'm saying? I like the lady viewpoint. You know what I'm saying? I like to hear what she got to say.
Okay. Okay, Mayette, you trying to, she always trying to show up. I'm tired of men trying to outdo me. I ain't going to keep going through that now, Mayette. That ain't going to work. No,
okay. Hi.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Man, I told you we'd make it known. Everybody be telling her that, man. See, now, I ain't said nothing to that brother about you, and he's saying the same doggone thing everybody be saying. I'm tired of this. This ain't going to work. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
You know, truth is well respected worldwide. You know what I mean? You can't
That's
deny
right.
it.
That's it. That's it.
I told Michael, I said, I'm about 40, 45 now when it comes to wisdom.
Yeah, that's right.
But
you
yeah,
should be
like,
kicking it, man. We be kicking some trees down up here. I'm telling you.
Yeah. My biggest thing, when I run into anybody or talk to somebody, I always try to, you know, I don't try to press it. I just try to say, you know, try to help them see that, you know, we're so much bigger and better than what the image that they paint out here for us. And I think that's what our kids are missing, because the only thing that they see is the fact that, oh, I can be a gangster, killer, a rapper, and you know what I mean? I don't really, you know, even though we have HBCUs and all happening, it's just not on a mass scale. It's not like how they promote, how white people promote their image out here so strong on us. So I just try to let you know, like, you know, you came from royalty. You know, act like you came from royalty. Don't hang your head low. I don't want to see it. I'm like, you shouldn't have your head hanging low. That's what they want from you. Don't give them what, you know, what they want.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's just the biggest thing. Knowledge of self, you know, studying back before slavery, who we were and how powerful we were and how we have given them the blueprint to live the lives that they now, and they are completely twisting it up because they can't get out of their own ways that they, how they used to run their lives and fight each other and kill each other and all that stuff, and they get along. They still doing that here, but trying to paint the picture that we painted, and they're doing a horrible job. So that's my thing. I the whole damn system up, but it's okay.
Yeah, get loose, boy. You have to hold her down, boy. She getting loose. It's over with.
right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, man. Look, I in here, man, I try to share as much knowledge as I can with these brothers, and I've got the Willie Lynch letters and things like that I share, but I try to always, you know, ask people, how do we, how, looking at the Willie Lynch letters, how do we go back and reverse all these years of self-torment, self-incarceration, you know what I'm saying, self-depression? How do we go back and change the fear that they struck, you know, in our people, that has carried in our people up to current day? Because a lot of times, you know, like you said, the image that they put out about us, well, they kind of can do that because we give them the room to do that, because we don't take a initiative, you know what I'm saying, to change things on our own. And I understand why, you know what I'm saying? When my grandfather married his second wife, my step-grandmother, you know what I'm saying, which I call her my mother, you know, this woman's a white woman. But she taught me, you know what I'm saying, look, this was ingrained in you, boy. You know what I'm saying? This is ingrained in you. And they always going to look at you as a nigga no matter what. But it's ingrained in you. It's not your fault, a lot of the ways that you live and do, because it's been ingrained in your people long before you. This is what the breaking of a slave, this is what the breaking of a black man was. Just the same way my parents taught me to break horses. Once they broke the black man broke the black woman, well, they ingrained in them to break them kids. Because, see, once they see you pour that tar on that brother, put them feathers on that brother, strap him to them two horses, and then slap them horses and snatch him apart. And then they take the sister out there, and she got the fetus in the womb, and they cut the fetus out of the womb in front of everybody to see. Look, that's terrorism. I don't care about Al-Qaeda. I don't care about Al-Shabaab. I don't care about none of them. That is terrorism. Now it's struck in the mind of our ancestors. So, of course, my grandma whooped my ass, you know what I'm saying, because she ain't want the man to do it.
I hear you, boy.
You know what I mean? How do we go back? You know, how do we step back as a people and address it? You know what I'm saying? First, bring it to the table and address it to heal from it and move past it. Because I think if we could ever do that, then we can start reversing a lot of the teachings, you know what I'm saying, the self-taught stuff, the self-oppression. We can change a lot of that negative forward to people.
Very brilliant, man. Wow. Go ahead, Beaumont. You can ask that for him, can't you? Wow. Y'all lighting it up.
So we got to... The first thing we have to do is identify areas where we are a majority and start there. We are 1% or better, we need to organize and take over politically immediately. That needs to be the number one call for all areas, for all 732 of them, just in case you didn't know. There's areas that we already are predominantly the majority numerically and have the political ability to step up and call the shots legally, lawfully, right now. So all we have to do is withdraw our consent from the agreed upon previous system, because everything is by consent. Government gets its authority from the consent of the governed. These are in the law. This is in their books. So just use the law. Nothing wrong with it. We have the ability to withdraw our consent at any moment. We don't have to wait for any time. I mean, any day of the week. So that's the beauty of it. We're waiting on us. We're not waiting on anybody else. We have to assert. That's what's missing. We haven't asserted.
Now, you know, like, I agree with you there. And as far as us are involved in this conversation right now, we could probably all agree on that. But, you know, as far as the Ben Carsons of this world, the Michelle and Barack Obamas of this world, you know, the Jay-Z and Beyoncé's of this world, these are, you know, black people with great influence. How do we get it to, you know, the black people with the influence and the financial power to say, hey, look, you know what I'm saying, this is where we need to start as a people?
We don't. We bypass them. We talk straight to the people. We go straight grassroots. We don't even talk to nobody but your neighbors. We don't even worry about celebrities. They're non-factors. We make them. Fan their flame.
They're in the pocket.
We'll cut them off.
What'd you say, Maya?
They're in their pocket. I said, that's true, because the celebrities, they're not interested in what's going on here. They're just their game in order to get paid. They're not, they're like, long as I listen to what Master told to say and what not to say. And that's why the ones that are actually speaking the truth, they have to hide it in their music.
Yeah.
They have to code it in a certain way because they want to free us. But if they do so, that means their whole entire life. You know, that means their family could be at risk. That means a lot of things, and some of them just flat out don't care. You know what I mean? There's been black celebrities that have disowned the black community.
Oh, pretty much. Oh, well, now, all y'all, now see, all y'all on point once again, taking a little bit of dough, taking a little bit of sugar, taking a little bit of salt, taking a little bit of ginger ale, like y'all talking all, watch this here, all those ingredients, that's what makes us profound people, y'all. So the blueprint that we have to write up is taking a little bit of, sprinkle a little bit of everything of what y'all said, hello. And look how we're going to cover every angle. Once again, y'all know I am the healer. That's why I sit back and I listen to everything y'all say, and I say what I say because all of y'all are talking genuinely about something, and I believe that you genuinely in your heart has the revolution of our people, the best interest at your heart and in our conclusion. Let me say furthermore, just like the brother just asked the question, what do we do to unwind, unbend, redo, reprogram what was viciously forced into our mindset through the slave plantation? Now, when you talk about a plantation, you're talking about planting a seed, and it becomes, from that seed, it becomes an apple, an orange, or a fruit, or a squash, or whatever it is, okay? So because we were on that plantation, that's a symbolically speaking how that white man saw us. He pitted mom against sister, sister against brother against dad, and auntie against uncle, okay? He pitted the light skin against the dark skin. But he did it with the Willie Lynch theory and the letter that the brother spoke about. What he did, he said, okay, I have in Jamestown, Virginia, in 1712, I have right here my little black book, my little black bag, that's going to show you, it's going to rival, wrong would rival you sticking in these niggers and killing them and hanging them on their heads on your damn street corners and things. Don't do that. You're killing your money when you do that. Make these people hate one another. Make mama hate the sister. Make mama hate the baby, slap him down and kill him and all this here. And make daddy hate the mama and keep a disruption in the house. He said, but with us, they must always know, respect us, never question us. They must always honor us. They must dignify us. But to them, they must fight and disrespect, disregard. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you say that unity is so profoundly into our black communities today. It's because of well and thorough brainwashing that the Caucasian put on us. A thorough brainwashing is something that's going to take centuries and years of coming off under. However, watch this here. There's still a pocket of us like we're talking today. Some of us wants to do this, but you got the samples out there who's going to go, just like they've always done throughout history, going to go back and report to massa. What we doing, because an infiltrator, you're never going to really know who they are. It could be somebody look like just, I'm just going to tell you the truth, as sharp as Michael Washington is, you wouldn't know if I'm an agent or not other than by my actions and deeds. So what I'm trying to tell you, that just like the brother killed Malcolm X, all those infiltrators with the Nation of Islam and all those people, let me tell y'all something, Martin Luther King and all of them, yes, y'all heard me. We have to deal with those same people now today who are infiltrating our ranks and definitely going back, telling master every time we make a move. That's what destroyed, like you were saying, Bomani and Mayotte, that's what destroyed the Black Panther Party, because they had infiltrators told them whatever they were going to make a move or hit or march. Hell, the infiltrator already told the police agents and the FBIs were among them. They knew beforehand. So this is why we got to put them to the test. Ashe. Go ahead, Mayotte. What you got to say? Y'all too much speak at me. We got about 10 minutes.
I can smell somebody real quick. I mean,
I know who you smell. Thank you, ma'am. You're right. We really can't. In reality, you can tell by the way they're not sitting right. They want to participate in arguments or discussions, or wanting to get out and be a general in the field, you know, on the front line, the foot soldier. So yes, you're absolutely right about that. So I agree with you on that wholeheartedly.
I've been studying the ancestors very, very well, our revolutionaries well, and I just, you know, it's something. Stuff repeats itself, and you know it ain't finna go down like it did, you know, for any of our revolutionaries anymore. I'm like,
no,
fighters. You can't just, you know, even our young teenagers, you know, even during the George Floyd situation, they was out just.
They were out there, wasn't in droves. Ooh-wee. Now we just not to guard that mentality and put them on the right path. Whew, what comes after the storm though?
That was the perfect opportunity. We dropped the ball right there.
Wow.
That was exactly what we needed to take power.
Wow.
Right then, that was when the iron was hot. Right then, we could have took over all those cities. Every city that they pulled out in right there, we could have took power right there.
Wow.
And that's what we could have made. The only thing that was missing was a declaration. People didn't get together and give orders. There's only three reasons to get to assemble. And for the public good, to give orders to a public servant, and the public good, to give orders for the public servant, and something else. There was another one. Give orders part is what was missing. We didn't give orders to for the mayor and for the police department to be dissolved and establish a new peacekeeping branch or whatever, something that replaces those murdering police. That we were missing.
Right.
We don't have a vision as a people. And where people don't have a vision, well, we know what happens. Anything goes. What we got now.
Well, y'all, look here. We got about 2 minutes.
I hear him there. But we decided to take over. So, I think you have more so have a mass killing than anything. Because on this January 6th.
Oh, yeah, that's people lay down, man. Y'all, come on, man.
It wasn't no mass. You say what, brother?
You gonna have mass killing? Ain't gonna tell me that we gonna have. You think we might? Shit! You think people
gonna
build up
there?
Empire?
Sure be
build up on our backs?
Taking cities over New York? Hey, look, where was the National Guard or anybody when the folks ran up in the White House? Now let that.
Laying at the house sleep.
Now me and my grandfather attended the Million Man March when I was a kid. I actually ain't never seen so many police in my life.
Oh man, come on,
you know that.
Come on, talking about mass and
the
black folks getting together. Already mad and upset the way things are, and then you had Minister Farrakhan showing you. Let me show you. You know what he did? He said, "Let me show you how many of my brothers and sisters be really backing me."
Yeah.
I wish I would touch me. See, that's the whole point of the matter, man. We need to quit. Stop. That was a great move. And then Brother Khaled Muhammad did the same thing with the Million Youth March. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm trying to tell y'all, man, it's already there, but we cannot hit and quit, though. If we hit, we got to stay with the program.
You got to keep hitting.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you just can't lay down after that. And then we
watch
this
hit, man. In order for us to hit, man, we got to have some finances. And but it's just the truth.
No, I'm telling you, brother, absolutely. You can't do nothing without it. You can't even, man, let me tell you something. You can't even drive your car without having the money to go buy the gas station because you don't own nothing.
That's right.
And you can't go to the grocery store and come at the, on your word, I'll pay you when I get back. It's not going to make it like that, brother. Man, we need to start a plan. We need to have our own businesses. We need to have our own education institution, economic institution, social institutions.
Right.
The other way is, master, you get your ass, as a matter of fact, in at your own risk. That's what you do. You see, in other words, we have
right
to establish our own autonomy, our own government. And once we establish that, we don't have to take yes or no from this fool. You come on our land, man, in at your own risk. You will have some cannibals eating your goddamn ass up. You bring your ass on over here. You know, since you already know you want to invade upon our rights. You know,
$15 trillion.
That's true.
We're standing on $15 trillion worth of assets.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, we ain't got no money. What? Are you not aware of what you're talking about?
When I say finance, brother, I mean, how to
create our own and establish our own. That's what's missing. We don't understand
about
our own home.
We got about a minute and a half, y'all, so we cut off. You know, but like I said, y'all got a minute and a half. Go ahead, keep talking. Go ahead,
brother. You said what, brother?
About a minute and a half.
I wasn't saying we don't have any finance, brother. What I was saying was we need to reappropriate them finances in the right direction. See, when if you're blowing that much money a year, then it's not going the right way. So it don't matter whether you got it, it's going the wrong way. That's what I'm saying. We need to amass our finance, but we need to amass it in a smart way. You know, as a whole, we need to come together and push an agenda that pushes forward. You know,
we can make some noise
through financing.
We can make noise right now. So what? We coming, y'all. We are mending our ways. Let's put it this way, man. It's just that we have to get those same people out there who don't want to get with the program and listen to me carefully. Y'all got 15 seconds. Listen to me carefully. What we're going to have to do is let those people be what you call casualties of war, brother. Man, ain't no way we can do it, man. We can't afford to leave them behind. Going to tell master what we up to and what we plan. Bottom line, man. I don't mean no harm. Tell the truth, man. It's gonna come down to it. I mean, bottom line, man. You know, it hates to have to be that way, but like Harry Tubman said, if you're not coming with me, I'll kill you on the spot. Which one you gonna have? Which one you want?
That's right. I appreciate you, sister, brother. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, I say. Well, so, y'all, just get ready to cut me off, y'all. About 1 second. Everybody be blessed. I love all y'all, man. Thank y'all. And again, this coming Saturday, be blessed.
God bless all y'all.
Love your family.